And a very good morning to you. It is 11:22 and you are listening to Today on 567 Medium Wave Cape Talk. Now, if there's anything else you'd like to get off your chest, of course, it's important for you to pick up the phone or use the WhatsApp, but we also need to do those interviews. So we did mention that we're going to be chatting to Sand Parks. Sand Parks has put out a tender for the culling of fallow deer, springbok, kudu, ostrich, and about 1,400 warthog. So a lot of people might go, what? Why are we trying to kill all these animals? Well, the cull is due to happen at the end of October 2020 and the end of March 2021 across various parks, but Sand Parks has made it clear that trophy hunters need not apply. So to talk to you around this, I've got Dr. Luthando Dziba, who is the Managing Executive for Conservation Services at Sand Parks. Dr. Dziba, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you very much, and good morning to your listeners.
Tell me, why the need to cull these animals? I know a lot of people are going to get their backs up right now as we have this conversation, wanting to know why these poor animals have to be culled. But, I mean, just give us, you know, the objective fact behind that decision to do all of this.
Thank you for, I mean, it's a very good question you ask. We strive to maintain natural processes in our national parks, and to ensure that we continually improve the resilience of our ecosystems in order to ensure that the biodiversity that we manage is maintained or even improved. Culling is one of the tools that we have as conservation managers to ensure that we remove excess animals, because if we have too many animals, especially in some of our smaller parks, that could negatively affect the state of our ecosystems, meaning that it would compromise biodiversity and would reduce available food for various species within the system. So we do this in order to actually improve the management of national parks.
Okay, and that makes sense. So you said that trophy hunters need not apply.
Yes, that's correct. The main reason we really don't invite trophy hunters to apply is because as an organization, our focus is conservation and nature-based tourism. Trophy hunting at its most basic level might not necessarily be compatible with this type of business that we're involved in. However, we also note that the number of private sector partners that are involved, or offer, that as their business offering. And that is why, as an organization, we tend to do mass cullings as a way of reducing our animal numbers. But we also take out animals and translocate them to either other national parks or sell them, in live auctions for other people that are involved in wildlife conservation and management. We also give animals as donations to communities that own land that are particularly close or neighboring our national parks as part of their contribution, of our contribution to conservation, but also helping those communities to also build their wildlife economy businesses. We also make animals available on loans to emerging game farmers and as part of our contribution to the transformation of the wildlife economy. So there are various other tools that we employ in order to reduce numbers, especially the smaller national parks.
So tell me, how do you determine the right mix of animals to have in a particular space, just as a matter of interest?
The main thing or main consideration is really whether those animals are endemic to that area, meaning do they historically occur in, for instance, Addo National Park or in that particular biome, because that will ensure that there is compatibility between the vegetation that is there and the animals that then exist. A good example, at Addo, we have a lot of warthog, and warthog are called extralimitary species because they do not historically occur in and around Addo. And as a result, when they do occur there, like they exploit the vegetation that is there, and when they rapidly increase in number as they are doing right now, they can have a negative impact on other herbivores that occur in the system. And that is why when it comes to our culling programs, we do target extralimitary species and ensure that we reduce as many of them as possible, including, for instance, the fallow deer at Kamdebu National Park.
Okay, great. And then, yeah, it's... I've always wondered, you know, what happens with these animals, but and for those that have been culled, the meat itself, what happens to it? I know you said that, you know, you'll send animals to communities, etc., where they're able to accommodate it. But when an animal is shot and killed, what happens to the meat?
First, I must clarify that the numbers of animals that we cull represent less than a percentage of the animals that we keep in all our national parks. So it's quite a small fraction. But the meat itself, when we give the tender to a service provider to come and do the culling, they pay SANParks in upfront for the numbers of animals that are specified for that national park. And they then own the meat and the hide. Usually they come with mobile abattoirs to process the animals immediately as they are, culled, and then transfer them to abattoirs for further processing. And that meat eventually makes it into, our supermarkets and other, providers of game meat products.
Okay, well... thank you very much for your time there, Dr. Lutando Dziba. I'm hoping the trophy hunters don't try their luck, but the managing executive for Conservation Services.
We hope so too. Many thanks.
At SANParks. So that just puts that cull and request for cull into perspective.